Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you all this evening for this Evensong. That's one of my favourite anthems. It's just a delight. For those who don't know me, my name's David. I'm one of the ordinands here, so I'm training to be a vicar. And it's a real pleasure to be here and to think for a few moments about the passage in Matthew that we had read to us this evening. I'm just going to pray for us as we do that before we start. Loving Father, we thank you for your words. Thank you that you love to speak to us. We pray that you would give us open hearts to hear from you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Picture the scene. Jesus has just been teaching hundreds of people on a mountainside. And as they listen to him, they've seen that there's something different about him, about his words, about the way he speaks, about the presence he has. That he speaks as one who has authority. His words amaze the crowd. And as he comes down the mountain, there's a sense of expectation there following him. What will this preacher do next? Then there's a commotion. A leper is pushing his way through the crowd, trying to get to the front to be near Jesus. People recoil in disgust and fear. Some yell out, "Unclean!" The crowd parts, not to let him through, but trying to maintain a safe distance. For leprosy was a social and a spiritual outcast. It was a life sentence for him. An incurable skin disease that meant that he was isolated from God's people, that communicated that perhaps even God wasn't interested in him, all too aware of his own helplessness and unworthiness. But he keeps going. He's heard something about Jesus. He's heard that perhaps he's different from other teachers. Maybe he believes that Jesus is someone who could actually help him, who could maybe set him free from the uncleanness, from the condition that has separated him from his family, from his friends, from his worshipping community, from life as everyone else enjoyed it. He's undaunted by the crowd. He keeps pressing on, desperate to reach Jesus. And when he reaches Jesus, he falls on his knees. He's convinced that Jesus can heal him. He's heard the stories. But he's not sure if he's willing. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He recognizes that Jesus has power and authority. But maybe he's not convinced whether Jesus has the compassion and grace to actually act. Perhaps the barriers of his condition are just too much for Jesus. So he waits, and the crowd waits and whispers, "What's Jesus going to do? Is he willing to heal him? Is Jesus able to heal him?" Picture the scene. There's a centurion who's been posted to Judea, a man of power and influence, someone sent to exercise Rome's rule as an obscure part of the empire, with authority, power, agency, influence, likely a devout person, but most likely a believer in lots of different gods, mistrusted, feared, hated by the locals. Perhaps proud, self-made, self-assured, self-reliant. A man who, it seems, was used to giving orders, not asking for help. But a servant who is dear to him is unwell, paralyzed, in desperate need. And this great man is moved by compassion for his servant. He might have exhausted all the usual avenues for trying to resolve his condition, but to no avail. And then he hears of this local Jewish teacher who may be able to help. Perhaps he's heard the stories of the signs that Jesus had performed. Perhaps he thought he might be able to order Jesus to heal his servant. So he goes. There's another commotion in the crowd. The crowd parts, but this time because it's unwise to obstruct a Roman centurion. And the centurion stands face to face with Jesus, and he immediately sees something that's different about him. He sees an authority that Jesus has. Now, a centurion knew about authority. He could order people to go and do what he wanted, whether they were his soldiers or his servants. He knew what authority looked like. And he saw authority in Jesus, but this was nothing like his authority. He comes to Jesus and asks, "Lord, my servant lies at home, suffering. He's paralyzed." And Jesus asks, "Shall I come and heal him?" This great man comes in humility, willing to be publicly vulnerable. Recognizing his own unworthiness, he recognizes that he couldn't even invite Jesus to come under his roof. And yet he comes with great faith, faith that is greater than anything that Jesus has seen in all of Israel. And he waits, and the crowd waits and whispers, "Will Jesus heal his servant? Is Jesus able to heal his servant? What will Jesus do?" I wonder if any of you are familiar with the TV program The Repair Shop. Now, we don't watch a great deal of TV, but whenever that's on, I find it quite compelling watching, actually. The premise is that people take old items that are of perhaps great sentimental value to them, but have been fatigued, damaged, broken by use and time, and are now perhaps worthless and unusable. I remember once seeing one about an old cash register that reminded me of one my nan had when I was growing up, but all the mechanism was frozen up. It was rusty. It was tarnished. It was broken beyond repair. And these people come and they bring their precious items that are not working before the team at the repair shop. And they're able to do amazing things, to turn things that are broken back to life, to restore them in wonderful, amazing ways. A broken cash register was turned into a sparkling thing of beauty. They're both willing to help, and they're able to help. And this is what we see with Jesus. Jesus acts because he is both willing to help the centurion's servant and the paralyzed man, and because he is able to. Jesus has compassion for all, but Jesus has authority that is over all. There are no barriers to his compassion. He reaches out and he touches a leper on public view in the midst of the crowd. And he says, "Your uncleanness is no barrier to my love and compassion." And there's no hesitation. He doesn't delay. He reaches out and immediately, with a word, he heals the man. He offers publicly to go to a centurion's house, to the home of a Gentile. That was unthinkable for a Jewish teacher to do. And yet Jesus says, "I'm not interested in those barriers. I'm interested in showing compassion to those who are outside of God's people." Jesus is breaking down barriers of cultural and religious taboo, identifying himself with the individual who is suffering rather than with the crowd, choosing to share their shame dignify this cell. But it's scandalous to the onlookers. But Jesus is not just well-meaning. He doesn't just have compassion, but no ability to act. He has authority that transforms lives, that sets lepers free, that heals paralyzed men. He speaks words of life because he is the source of all life, and creation recognizes her maker's voice, and life returns to those who are unclean and outside of God's people, to those who are paralyzed and helpless. I wonder if sometimes we can think of Jesus a bit like a rusty cash register in the repair shop. That we think Jesus was someone who used to do great things, someone we read about in history of doing amazing miracles. But perhaps our image of Jesus has been tarnished. It's rusty. We find ourselves asking the question, is Jesus willing and is Jesus able? The reality is that the Jesus that we're reading about in this story is the same Jesus who is alive and at work amongst us today. Jesus didn't just have authority and compassion. Jesus has authority and compassion today. And so we shouldn't underestimate it. We should be willing to come to Jesus for ourselves. Come in faith like the leper and receive Jesus' touch and cleansing. Because there is no barriers. There are no barriers to approaching Jesus. He is for you. But we should also be prepared to come to Jesus on behalf of others, like the centurion did, those we know who are suffering, who are desperately in need of his healing touch. But we also shouldn't underestimate Jesus' authority. He's not just well-meaning. He is compassionate, but he also has authority to set people free, to breathe new life where it is desperately needed. And so when we pray, when we come to Jesus, we should come with expectation that he is able to do that. I pray that as we read these words and reflect on these words together, perhaps God by his Spirit might be cleaning off some of the rust on our images of who Jesus is, and that we might see him face to face as the one who is willing and who is able to save.